Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Grace Barker. Your first book, Grace, was Timber Empire, The Exploits of the Entrepreneurial Boyds. Do you have a personal connection to the Boyd family? What attracted you to their story?
Well, I lived in Bob Cajun all my life, and they were the center of Bob Cajun, and they had the lumber mill there, and when I started work for the library, we moved into their old office to make it into a library, and we had to clear out, they had all the shelves and everything, and there were 7 truckloads of maps and papers and pictures and everything that went down to the archives in Ottawa. And so people kept asking me when they came in, you know, for information about them. And I said, well, when I finish working, I'll go down and research it for you. So that's how it began.
7 truckloads. Yes. Wow. How much of it was personal? I mean, were they personal diaries?
Some of them were personal diaries. Yeah. And they saved every piece of paper that they ever had, I'm sure. And there were 3 generations of them, so it amounted to a big pile of paper.
The best kind of family, keeping their papers.
Yes.
I mean...
Yes.
I'm always trying to get rid of mine, but really one shouldn't throw them out.
I'm trying to get rid of mine, but I've given some of mine to the Trent Valley Archives.
Have you?
Yes, because they'll be used there.
So I can see now why you were attracted to their story.
Yeah. And I also I was writing it for my grandchildren, really. I wanted them to know how in the old days, how they did, because nowadays they don't do lumbering in that way. They don't have lumber camps and all that sort of thing. So I wanted to make a story for my children. And then when it progressed into a book, and so I published it. At first I thought, this wouldn't go any place. And so I only published 500 copies. Within 3 months, they were all gone.
And so that's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so
yeah.
I republished it twice.
Yeah. That's terrific.
Yes. It was sold mostly around Bob Cajun and Halliburton, where they did the lumbering. It was very popular up in Halliburton. And it was just a local story that everybody...
Yes, that everybody enjoyed reading.
Yes.
It's always fun to find out about the locality living in. So it's a rags-to-riches story, is it?
Yes. Mossum Boyd came here when he was 19, and he had been born in India. His father was in the army there.
Oh, yeah.
And his father and his mother both died, and he and his sister were sent back to England when they were about 16, I think. Mm-hmm. He didn't fit in very well. Hadn't had the same lifestyle. He didn't. So I think they were sort of glad to get rid of him. He decided to go to Canada.
Well, I guess it was an adventure for him.
So he came with all his belongings packed in a little black brown trunk, which still survived. It had never been thrown out, and so he started with nothing, and became Lumber King of the Trent
River Valley. Yes. What do you think drove him? Did he want to make money, or was he? What kind of person was he?
Oh, he was a very ambitious man and very penny pinching in the beginning, which he had to be.
Yes,
yes,
yes. Well, I guess.
And in his lifetime, the whole family never had too much money. The second generation, and then the third generation, they reaped the rewards of his efforts.
Yes.
Yes.
He ploughed it back into the business, and they spent it.
Yeah, that's right.
Your history is based to a large extent on the information you found in the diaries and correspondence of the Boyds. So how did you discover these documents? I mean, you knew that you were sending away 7 truckloads, but at the same time, how did you sort that out?
Well, we were farmers, and we'd had a sale of cattle, registered cattle, every 2 years, and we had all these registrations to transfer, and there was a mail strike. So my husband said, well, let's drive down, because the strike might last a long time. So we were looking for an excuse for a holiday, and we drove down, and they were so impressed that we had taken them to brought them down ourselves, that they said if we waited a couple of days, they would process them right away, and we could take them back. So I had a couple of days to investigate the archives, and I found they had all these documents on the voids, and so I got hooked on it. And the next winter, my friend who lived in Ottawa was going away for a month, and she said, would you like to come down and house sit for me? And I said, oh, I'd love it. So, and at that time, the archives was open 24 hours a day. You could go in any time of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
And work for hours and hours.
Isn't it amazing what we've lost?
Yes, it is. It is amazing. And all the void documents have been sent over to Hull because of space. And so now when you order them, you have to order what documents you want, and they bring you over boxes and put them in a locker, and you have 2 or 3 days to go through those, and then they bring you some more.
Mm.
So you had to research it first to know what you wanted to ask for.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't have that delightful freedom to go through the boxes and find the treasures yourself. No.
The first box that they brought to me that I went through, there was this little diary. In those days, all the workers kept a little notebook and turned it in at the end of the week so they would know how much pay they were to get, and that was how they did it. And so the first document that I owned, I sort of recognized the handwriting, and it was an uncle of mine.
Oh, what a chance.
And who had died when he was a wood ranger for them, and he'd been down in Quebec City, or down in Quebec, then in the Septiles district.
Yes.
And so that really hooked me on it, because
yes.
I had to find out more about
yes,
him.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, Grace, I know that some days you have difficulty reading because of your eyes, so would you like Gwyn to read this for you?
Yes, I would like that very much.
And just before she begins, tell me where you found this excerpt that Gwyn's reading.
Well, I found it. They had daily diaries. I had a million things to go over, and I just put it all together, what pieces that he had written.
Okay.
It was their way of keeping track of how the business was going.
Mm-hmm.
They always used their own family, and one of the sons looked after the office, and the other one was out working with him. And so, in order to, they had no phones or anything. In order to communicate with each other, they had to write all this down.
We've forgotten all about that world, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Really, really.
My business is a very arduous one, but much easier now, as I have a good and trusty foreman and overseers who have been so long in my employment that they take an interest in my welfare. Still, it is always necessary for me to be within reach at all times, having upwards of 100 men in my employment, and frequently a much greater number. One branch of my business is cutting pine into boards at my sawmill for the New York and Albany markets. Another, that of sending large rafts of pine timber, squared, to Quebec for the British market. Also masts, oak, and elm for shipbuilding. And I have to go to Quebec frequently to make sales. It is a business that requires vast experience and judgment to carry on successfully. Many who commenced when I did, and since, with capital of many thousands of pounds, have been ruined. So you may imagine what uphill work I have had to compete with those who had such advantage over me. At the time I was married, 1844, when I commenced business, I had nothing, and though I have experienced much anxiety and hard work, the latter I did not mind, there was an enjoyment and excitement in it, I am proud to say I have been able to provide for my family and have done a great deal of good besides.
That's interesting. Yeah. And where did he write that down?
Oh, he was writing, he had little notes. And when he was in the woods, he would make notes of what he wanted and send it back to the office. He was always writing.
It's as though he knew that somebody was going to write his biography.
Yes, yes.
So many thanks to you, Grace, for coming to talk to us about your books, Timber Empire and The Bad Luck Bank Robbers. Do you know the dates yet for the run of Bad Luck Bank Robbers at Fourth Line Theatre this summer?
Yes, it's the first 3 weeks in August.
Well, I hope that it's sold out again, just like it was before.
You'll have to get your tickets early for them.
Yes.
They have sometimes have busloads coming in, so you have to pick your day that you want to go.
We've got to organize this one.
Yes.
And where can listeners buy your books these days?
Well, mostly in small bookstores, Kerr's Bookstore in town, at the Old Hastings Gallery up in Coal Hill.
And
there's someone in Havelock. Other than that, I have a website, and they can. I get a lot of orders, and I just send them out to them.
Do you?
Yes.
And do you sell them online through Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of ways to get a book.
There are lots of ways.
Well, we are really, truly looking forward to going to see it this year. Please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com. All these programs are archived there and available to listeners at any time. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.